You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in today. Juneau's Thane Road remains closed until further notice since high winds have raised the risk of avalanches. The Alaska Department of Transportation observed 8 natural avalanches yesterday between Thane and Mount Juneau. The National Weather Service issued a wind advisory in effect until 6 p.m. Thursday. Sonny Mauricio is a public information officer at DOT. He says the wind has stopped the department from triggering avalanches on purpose to reduce the risk of natural ones.
We've been seeing 50 mile per hour winds with gusts up to 95 miles per hour, which is moving a lot of snow around up there. And then due to that wind, we were unable to perform our planned avalanche hazard reduction mission.
The department initially closed the road on Monday afternoon to attempt the mission. Staff planned to use a remote-operated drone that would drop small explosives into the snowpack. The road closed again yesterday, and Mauricio says DOT staff tried again, but the wind still prevented them. The department advises residents not to enter the Thane Road avalanche zone and said in a statement that it will reassess the road closure tonight at 8 p.m. John Brissett, avalanche advisor for the city and borough of Juneau, posted an update on the city's website this morning indicating that natural avalanches are likely today. He wrote that they can produce large powder clouds, but the debris isn't expected to hit homes. According to Brissett's daily updates, numerous small avalanches have occurred across downtown Juneau's known slide paths over the past week, but none have damaged infrastructure. And the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is prioritizing short- and medium-term solutions to glacial outburst flooding in the Mendenhall Valley. That's what leaders of the Corps said at a press briefing in Juneau yesterday. But as KTOO's Alex Solomon reports, that doesn't mean the agency has lost sight of the lake tap they chose as their preferred long-term solution back in December.
At a press briefing in the Juneau International Airport Conference Room, Assistant Secretary of the Army for Civil Works, Adam Tell, said the agency never backed out of its commitment to provide the Mendenhall Valley with a long-term solution to glacial outburst flooding. He said the agency is working on short, medium, and long-term solutions at the same time.
In my view, we can't wait a decade to deliver or 6 years or 15 years. We can't wait that long to deliver results for the citizens of this community. And so we're tackling short and medium with the same aggression that we're tackling long.
The Army Corps had landed on a lake tap as the long-term solution after a 3-day meeting in Juneau late last year. A lake tap would involve digging a tunnel through Bullard Mountain to continuously drain the glacial basin that fills with rain and meltwater so the water can't rush out all at once each year. The local city and tribal governments favored the idea. But last month, City Manager Katie Kester announced in a Juneau Assembly meeting that the Army Corps had reversed on the long-term solution. Tell says that's not what happened. He says the Army Corps has been consistent on getting a long-term solution, and the only thing that's changed is his immediate focus.
I've turned my focus to ensuring we're doing everything we can right now to protect the citizens of Juneau through short and medium-term strategies. I mentioned we're expanding the HESCO barriers, we're raising the HESCO barriers, we're looking at the channel. We've got a significant portion of our national inventory of pumps headed this way today.
The temporary levee remains the short-term solution meant to protect hundreds of homes in the Mendenhall Valley from the flood expected this summer. It's made of HESCO barriers, which are steel cages lined with fabric and filled with sand, that line the Mendenhall River through suburban neighborhoods. The temporary levee just barely protected valley neighborhoods from catastrophic flooding last summer, when floodwaters rose within inches of the top, leaked through in some areas, and caused the barriers to slump in others. Colonel Jeff Palazzini is the Alaska District Commander for the Army Corps. He said at the press briefing that the Army Corps is working with the city to help raise the levee it built last year somewhere between 1 and 2 feet. And the agency will also build phase 2 of the levee at no cost to the city, which will extend the barrier to unprotected areas from Backloop Bridge to just before the Juneau International Airport.
So that adds about 4 to 4.5 miles to the system. We're talking both sides of the river.
Palazzini said the agency will also haul more boulders in, called riprap, to create a continuous armored riverbank and guard against erosion. Tell says that raising the barrier even a small amount could result in much more protection for the community.
A small investment in the height can make the chances of overtopping 5 times smaller.
The city issued a press release earlier this month saying that the temporary levee should be completed in July. For the last 3 years, the flood has occurred in August. But the HESCO barriers were never meant to last forever, and engineers have said there's a limit to what they can withstand. So in the medium term, Tell says that the Army Corps is looking at options that could protect the valley when the temporary levee expires, and a long-term solution is still on the way. He said everything is on the table, but named two ideas: sturdier barriers that would go in along the river, and modifying the river channel in some way. That could potentially look like dredging out a side channel or straightening out the river to move floodwater out to sea more quickly.
You know, I think there's been conversation within the community for years about straightening the channel. This could be done relatively quickly and for low cost. The question is, does that straightening actually just move the risk to a different part of the community?
Tell says extensive modeling of the river is underway. He says the agency has a pretty good understanding of the upper half of the river and will understand the lower half in the coming weeks. Short and medium-term solutions handle the torrent once billions of gallons of water are already coursing through the river, close to neighborhoods, businesses, and community infrastructure. Tell says the lake tap is still the Army Corps' preferred option to put an end to Juneau's glacial outburst flooding at the source. A tunnel through Bullard Mountain would work like a bathtub drain and continuously empty water from Suicide Basin so it can't rise to a level that would create a catastrophic flood.
If you're looking to solve this problem over the course of 10 or more years, it's at this moment appears to be the most viable technically. But that doesn't mean that the other ones are, other options are off the table.
Tell says that nationwide, the agency is working to build infrastructure more quickly with less paperwork.
As we talk about timelines, we have to be clear-eyed about where we are as an organization and our ability to deliver quickly. And I'm committed to fixing that nationwide, but in terms of timeline, nothing has changed about our timeline.
And though he says nothing has changed in the Army Corps' timeline for a long-term solution, he did not specify what that timeline is. In past estimates, Army Corps staff have said a long-term solution could take from 6 years to around a decade. Army Corps staff say they need to go through technical and modeling work to ensure that the chosen solution is designed properly. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And the second iteration of the City and Borough of Juneau's Visitor Industry Task Force has been meeting since mid-December. The group is tasked with looking at whether the city's current approach to managing tourism is working and recommending big-picture changes to the Juneau Assembly. KTOO's Clarice Larson sat down with its vice chair, Kirby Day, to learn more about the priorities of the task force and how the discussions are going. Day is the government and community relations liaison for Carnival Corporation in Juneau.
What prompted you to want to join this task force specifically, and why do you think it's important for Juneau's future?
I was excited to join it. I think it's tremendously important, this kind of process, because when I first came to Juneau in 1980, on a ship, there were 80,000 cruise passengers, and now we're at 1.6 million. So not only has that created challenges, but it's created the fact that it's a vital part to our economy. Young people are leaving Juneau. We need young people to stay here, find a good job, raise a family here, run a business. And so I think that the task force gives us that opportunity to, again, get perspectives from not only task force members, but the public on tourism and how we can mold it to make it work and make it make sense. Because all those good things about tourism, it's got to be managed.
What stands out to you as, you know, something that is new or the topics that you think need to be elaborated on?
Flight scene concerns, flight scene noise, the growing whale watching industry. Those are different. We didn't tackle those specifically in the first task force, but the mayor's asked us to begin to talk about those and address those and review this possible revolving loan program to encourage investment in clean energy and quiet technology and emission reduction by operators and industry. And then also, she'd like us to look at a 10-year approach to tourism, again, based kind of on a regional effort, and then finally identify visitor industry revenue opportunities that aren't being taken advantage of right now or looking at fees, looking at dockage fees and things like that.
You know, you guys have been meeting since, gosh, like mid-December. What are other ways people can get involved in these discussions as, you know, you guys are going to be making some pretty big recommendations?
The public can always email the task force and they can go to the website. All of our meetings that we're currently having, there's no public comment at the meeting. We're just getting through the issues and getting through the meat of what we're working on in those. But that's why Not only can we take that public comment at any time by email, but two meetings in June are really dedicated to being able to listen to the public again and then go back and have another month or so to kind of formulate what we've heard, what we've worked on, and then make some really good recommendations to the Assembly. We need to find a common ground, manage to the middle, and find a common ground where we can, you know, take advantage of those benefits while making sure Juneau is a great place to visit and a great place to live.
That was Juneau's Visitor Industry Task Force Vice Chair Kirby Day speaking with KTVO's Clarice Larson. The task force next meeting is on Thursday, April 16th. The Alaska Legislature is on the verge of passing a major election reform bill. The House approved Senate Bill 64 on Monday in a 23-16 vote after the state Senate gave it the green light last year. It's a bipartisan compromise. Minority Republican Representative Sarah Vance, a staunch conservative from Homer, says it's a nuts and bolts bill that doesn't give either side an advantage. She says it simply makes it easier to vote and harder to cheat.
We aren't trying to get a certain outcome with this. We are boiling this down to how we conduct elections so that each voter, regardless of how they vote, has the confidence that it's going to count and that it's going to be secure and that the voter rolls are going to be accurate.
The bill would make a variety of notable changes to absentee voting. It seeks to speed up ballot counting and reporting, provides postage-paid return envelopes, and sets up a new ballot tracking and curing system. That means if voters make a mistake, like forgetting a signature or writing down the wrong ID number, the Division of Elections would give them a chance to fix it. The bill would also make it easier to remove a voter from the state's active rolls. Senator Bill Welikowski, an Anchorage Democrat who shepherded the bill through the legislature, says there's a lot more he wanted to include, but he says lawmakers wanted a compromise.
We're going to agree on the things that we can agree on, things that just fundamentally make our elections better. And after 10 years, I think this bill does that.
The Senate is expected to approve the House's changes to the bill as soon as today. That would send it to Governor Mike Dunleavy. The governor's office declined to say whether Dunleavy plans to sign or veto the bill. And as for the weather here in Juneau, there's a wind advisory until tomorrow night. The National Weather Service says that gusts up to 50 miles an hour are expected. But now it's 29 degrees and cloudy. Tomorrow looks like it'll be sunny with a high near 31 degrees. And that looks like about the same for Saturday as well. This is KTOO.